ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Ah! So excited!
Dude.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. It is Wednesday. It is your favorite hour of the week. What am I talking about?
It is your favorite hour of the week. If we didn't have to be here, we wouldn't. But, hey, since we know it's your favorite hour.
The ever-positive Pastor Nate Heitzig, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome to the show.
Dude, it's good to be here.
It's good to have you in studio. And, you know, of course, Shock Therapy Live. It is our one-hour show centered around the peoples. We're talking to you. Maybe you're dealing with something. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you're struggling with something. And you've just had a rough go at it lately and need some clarity in a situation in your life. Maybe you just need some encouragement. Maybe you need to get your butt kicked. Maybe you just need to hear some truth.
Yeah, maybe you just want to talk about some stuff.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. We are here to kick it with you to talk about the ins and outs of life and what's going on in your world. It is Shock Therapy Live. Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. Or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. If you're bold, of course, it is a sensitive show. We have a lot of sensitive topics, and we talk to people about sensitive issues. If you would like to keep it anonymous, we will respect that. You can email us, studio@mystaticradio.com. We promise we won't shout from the rooftops your email address or who you are.
Dude, did you see the dude who caught a 280-pound catfish?
Yes.
What?
You didn't see that?
I saw the marlin.
We talked about the marlin, but I saw the picture of the catfish.
Dude, this catfish looks like a monster from the
deep.
It's
huge.
That's pretty
awesome. It's crazy.
Wow.
I'm going to try to find a picture of it, because literally I looked at it. The catfish is twice the size of this human being.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Man, somebody in Mississippi catch catfish, that baby would be king, man.
Dude, and this is the funny part. It's in the last place that I would expect, like, big river monsters to be. It's in Italy.
Really?
It's like, since when are there crazy Italian catfish?
Hey, I got the catfish. Some river monsters are, you know, they got a heritage.
I'm going to make them into a spicy meatball.
Look at him. Look at that catfish.
Whoa!
Yeah. Hey, look at that. If you're watching, look at that thing. Yeah. That's a big, stinking catfish. That catfish will eat you for breakfast.
Let me see it one more time.
It's pretty crazy.
It's just ridiculous.
It's huge.
Dude, it's a big catfish.
It's like the size of a shark.
Yeah.
And now let's Jesus juke that. That catfish is like sin. And the longer you let it swim in the rivers of your life, the bigger it gets, feeding on the scum in your heart.
Yeah.
Until eventually, it eats your soul.
Man, catfish are bottom feeders. He's right.
What a jerk.
That was a good Jesus juice.
I thought it was.
That was a good Jesus juice.
It was
really
topical.
Good.
Yeah.
That was
holy
crap.
You
are
up in your game, bro. That was good.
My Jesus juke game strong today.
Jesus juke game strong, Pastor Nate.
I just almost fell out the back of my chair. That's
my Jesus juke and my pimp hand.
505.
It's a Christian pimp hand. Go ahead.
It's for
505-338-3700. Give us a call.
It's for slapping hypocrites. That's what it's for.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you better get over here and slap me. Wait.
Oh, man. We got a phone line open. Let's go out to line one.
What if there was like reverse hypocrisy where it's like, oh man, I've got a huge plank in my eye. Someone please take it out for me. Like it was like reverse hypocrisy. So instead of like trying to take the plank out of someone else, it's like, I've got a huge plank. Someone please point it out.
Oh my gosh. Did I
reverse
just come
hypocrisy.
Up? What if we formed a rap group and our name was Hip Hypocrisy?
Oh man.
Hip hop. Let's go
practice karate in the garage.
That could be a YouTube channel that would be hilarious.
Doug, are you in?
Hip-hopocracy.
Hip-hopocracy? Like,
he's in. That's so
almost like making fun of Christian stuff through hip-hop.
DJ Dougie Fresh in there.
Oh,
man. Hey, caller, do you want to be part of hip-hopocracy with us?
Please do.
I would love to, dude.
Perfect. Okay, good.
That's good.
Do you have turntable skills on the ones and twos? Can you rock this?
Or at least,
can you beatbox?
You dabble. Okay.
I dabble.
Word, yo. Welcome to the show, dog.
Thanks,
just chilling in the 9 o'clock hour. What's going down with you, yo?
Well, I just had a quick question regarding how communication with with one's wife.
Oh, man. Perfect, perfect. Nate brought the pimp slap hand.
I just feel like every time, every time I tell myself something, it's like, not the right thing. Or every time I do something, it's like, I just feel like I'm getting redirected constantly, dude. And I'm like, okay, I cannot be like that much of a screw up, dude, unless I really am. But like, I don't know. Like, I don't feel like I mess up that much to where it's like I have to be redirected for something or reiterated all the time. Yeah. And it's frustrating, dude.
Have you communicated this to your spouse?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, every day, bro.
Every day, man. Like, I really do. And I just thought, you know, hey, I just would appreciate it if you can kind of, you know, just back up a little bit or give me a little bit of space. When, like, if you do have stuff, like, I just feel like sometimes your redirection and criticism comes more than positive, you know, things. And I, you know, and she's completely understanding, but it's like, yeah, you understand, but it's like it's not being done, I guess. And I'm just kind of like, man. I'm tired of just kind of being. I feel like I'm just like this, like get angry, but I don't say anything, and I'm just like frustrated. I guess frustrated is more of the word.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. All right.
Yeah, you know, communication is a huge issue within marriage, and mm-hmm. I think it's honestly the root and the cause of a lot of marital strife and a lot of divorce mm-hmm. within couples is a lack of communication, a lack of healthy communication. And you know, it's so funny. I was just we're meeting with a couple right now for their premarital counseling. We were talking about last night oneness. And you know, the Bible talks about leaving, cleaving, the two becoming one flesh, and some of the biggest roadblocks, and also some of the biggest promotion of oneness. And I think for both of those, it is oneness. You know, it's this idea of truly becoming one flesh. And that doesn't mean necessarily being uniform in all your thoughts, but having unity within all your thoughts. And so I think communication is one of the key downfalls to having true oneness within a relationship. And so I think that it's really important, and I think this goes both ways. I honestly think the recommendation I'm going to give to you, then I'm going to talk a little bit, because that's what I like to do.
Yeah.
The recommendation I would give to you is you need to go to a counselor, because this is something, the information that I'm going to give you, the information we're going to talk about, is only effective if both the male and the female within the relationship hear it, receive it, and are willing to put it into practice. It's going to do you absolutely no good if I tell you this, but your wife doesn't know it, or your wife doesn't hear it, or your wife doesn't agree with it, because then it's just like, okay, great, you've got this information, but your wife doesn't have this information. Communication is really key, because when we communicate, I think a lot of times as spouses, we get really accustomed to communicating when we have bad feelings, because mm-hmm. we're told, hey, if you're feeling something, don't keep it inside. You know, you got to be honest. You got to talk about it. And so what happens is we become really honest and transparent when we're mad at our spouse.
Yes.
Or when we're frustrated, there's something bad going on. We're told we need to not keep that in. We need to be honest with our spouse. So we're honest about our bad feelings, but we're seldom honest about our good feelings. When we're feeling really in love with our spouse, or we just look at our spouse and say, man, you look beautiful, we don't communicate that mm-hmm. a lot of times. We keep that inside because, you know, we think, oh, well, you know, they should just know that I love them all the time, but when I'm mad at them, I need to tell them. And communication is really important in bad times and in good times. It's important, you know, to tell your spouse, you know the insecurities within your spouse, and you know, go to those insecurities and say, look, I love you so much. You're more than enough in this world for me. I care about you, you know, and it's really important to communicate that. And then I would also say it's really important to communicate the struggles that you have with your spouse. And so, you know, communication is such it's not just one area within your relationship. And usually what I find within a relationship is when there's a downfall in communication, it's a downfall in every area of a couple's communication. It's a downfall in them communicating the ways in which they love each other, them communicating the difficulties that they have, them not communicating the struggles that they have, them not communicating the ideas, the values that they have. It's really a breakdown in every area of communication.
Yeah.
And so what I honestly think you guys need to do is you guys need to sit down with a counselor, a biblical counselor, and you need to talk about some of the struggles you guys are having in communication. Have somebody work through those struggles with you. Have somebody do some practicing On some exercises. One exercise that I like to use with couples is called the mirroring exercise. And it's a really good way to, foster good communication within a relationship. It's super simple. Basically what you do is if someone has something that they're feeling, what they have to do is they have to communicate to their other person what they're feeling within one sentence. Mm. Because what happens, a hard part with communication is sometimes we can ramble and we can just talk and talk and talk and not really express what we're really feeling because we just want to talk.
Right.
And so it's important to say within one sentence what you're feeling. And then after the spouse communicates that, the other person says, "So what I hear you saying is," and then they try to reiterate what the spouse has just said using different vernacular language, but still reiterating what they said. So that way the spouse feels heard. Mm. And then they would say, "Is that correct?" And then the person would say, "Yes, it is," or "No, it's not. What I'm really feeling is," and then again, one sentence, try to explain what they're feeling. And it's a really good exercise to practice because it shows your spouse that you're listening to what they're saying, you're hearing what they're saying, and you're trying to understand what they're saying. And so there's some of those exercises, but again, the only way that's effective is if you and your spouse together go to counseling and talk about that. There's also a great book that I recommend for spouses called Fight Fair. And it's this concept that fighting is inevitable. Fighting is going to happen within a relationship. Any healthy relationship will have disagreements. You know, it will have some kind of not necessarily arguments, but it will have altercations within a relationship, and it's going to happen. And so I think you've got to be ready for that, and you've got to learn how to fight fair. Mm. And there's got to be rules within the within a fight, just like there would be rules in a game of soccer or a game of baseball. There's got to be rules that are followed. Yeah. And it's a great book, Fight Fair. It's called Winning at Love. Winning at confrontation without losing at love, something like that. But it's a great book, and that can be really helpful within those kind of situations as well.
Does that help you out?
Yeah, absolutely. Can you get it off iTunes or something, or where is that book available at? Like Amazon?
I know you could get it at Amazon for sure.
There you go.
I know we sell it here at our bookstore here in Albuquerque. But I think you can get it on Amazon, I'm sure. I don't know about if you can get a digital copy of it, but I'm sure you can get it at Amazon.
Hey, I don't know what you're doing today at 12:30 p.m., but if you are free, check out 107.1 KNKT. It's our sister station. James McDonald, he's a pastor up in Michigan, I believe. He's going through a marriage series right now, and I just happened to be listening on my way into work this morning, and it was all about what you're talking about, specifically the nagging wife, what to do, husbands, wives, a fantastic message, and I know it re-airs at 12:30 today on 107.1 KNKT, but...
Hey, and you can get it. You can get it on Amazon. It also says there's a Kindle edition, so there is a digital edition. I'm not sure if that digital edition is on the iTunes bookstore, but it's definitely available.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna definitely check it out. Thank you guys so much, man. I really appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
have a great day, man.
All right, dude. Bye.
505-338-3700. The phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Or studio at mystaticradio.com. We have a
plethora,
ton of emails to get to.
We had someone else call. Who was that that called?
I don't know.
Doug says that was a guy named Wyatt, and he said he called to say good morning and that we're doing a good job.
Okay. Oh. Thanks, Wyatt.
Thanks, Wyatt.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for taking the time to hold to tell us that in person.
We think it was Bray Wyatt.
It was.
Ooh, Bray Wyatt. He's cool, man. He's a wrestler in WWE. He called out The Undertaker. So
he's really in WWE?
Yeah, Bray Wyatt.
Well, I'm sure the guy that called wasn't, but Bray Wyatt really is.
Bray Wyatt really is.
And he listens to the show?
Just every day.
That would be awesome.
We just had Shawn Michaels on the show last week, the Heartbreak Kid.
Yeah, we really did have that.
Did you really? I'm really trying to tell if what you guys are telling me right now is serious or
I'm
a joke.
I'm telling you seriously, Shawn Michaels was on our show last week.
This guy Bray Wyatt, does he really listen to the show?
It was a guy named Wyatt, and then Doug said, "It's probably Bray Wyatt." And then I said, "That would be awesome." And then he said, "I really dropped the ball. I should have asked him about Undertaker." And I was like, "Yeah, you should have."
Oh, okay. Okay. So why is Shawn Michaels a Christian or something?
Yeah, yes. He just wrote a book called Wrestling for My Life. The only reason we knew is because Parchments is selling
it. Should have been called Fake Wrestling for My Life.
Oh, but snap.
Wrestling in quotation marks.
So we actually talked
wrestling,
about
wrestling, not to be confused with what actually happens in the Olympics for my life.
Right. It was pretty great. So we had him on last week. In fact, if you missed that interview, you can check it out at mystaticradio.com under the audio section.
When I was a kid, I was a huge fan of WWE.
Man. Dude, you've got to listen to this interview. It was incredible. Yeah,
no, I'm not a fan anymore about it.
He retired like a decade ago. I probably won't listen to it. It's Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Steve-O, he's moved on.
Okay.
He's moved on.
Fine.
It's okay. But I will tell you this, Sting is in WWE now.
Dude, how has Undertaker not had a heart attack?
He hasn't been around since last
WrestleMania.
He's
undead, bro.
We don't even know if he's... Oh, my gosh.
That's a good point.
He's the phenom. He's eternal. Speaking of eternal matters, studio at mysteticradio.com.
We have quite a few emails.
We seriously have a handful of emails.
All right.
Hello. I have a question regarding long distance and building relationships. I'm currently
Long distance, like 5 cents a minute long distance?
Sure. I'm currently studying at GCU in Phoenix. She's from Albuquerque and still listening over there.
Woo! Woo! Shout out.
Her roommate's brother came to visit. They hit it off really well. He even flew her out over Christmas break to attend a Christmas party for his work.
Ooh.
He's a godly man and is constantly wanting God more and more. However, this person is stuck because she lives in that town and he lives somewhere else. He is her roommate's brother. She likes him a lot. He's probably the sweetest guy she's ever met. Very kind and generous and encouraging. She's gone on a date despite talking to him. They're just friends but both have feelings. However, she's really confused if this is even something that can really work out because of the distance. Hmm. It's very scary. So any advice about long distance?
Yeah, I think any kind of a long distance relationship, I think they can work and I think they can be effective. And in a certain way, I think they can sometimes be better than another relationship because, you know, the temptation of being with somebody, is not there as much. And so you can truly build a good friendship and a good relationship. Sure. Through the phone and through getting to know somebody without, you know, feeling tempted to sin with them.
Yeah.
So in a way, I think it can be good, but I think there's got to be a plan in place. So it sounds like you're in college right now. This guy has a job. So it's got to be done in a way that I think there's a plan that it would be stated that, hey, we're doing this long distance relationship for a time, but once I graduate from college, you know, I plan to either move there or you plan to move here, or, cause it can't be obviously this is what I would say. Any dating relationship should be with the purpose and the intent of marriage. That's why you date, because you say this person is marriage material. So you can't have a long distance marriage. So at some point, you guys gotta live closer to each other.
Yeah.
At some point, you guys have to, if you want that relationship to continue on, you have to live in the same place. And so I think a conversation needs to be had before you enter into a long distance relationship, because the only reason I would enter into a long distance relationship is if you say, look, this is somebody that I could see myself marrying, and so I'm willing to put in the time, you know, to do a long distance relationship because I think this could go to a place of marriage. And if you feel like it can, then have that conversation with that person and say, look, I really like you and I would really like to pursue a relationship with you, but I got to know that it's serious and that it's not just going to be something that, hey, we're going to talk on the phone for the next, you know, 2.5 years and that's going to be it. That's a pen pal, not a long distance relationship.
Yeah.
So know what you're going into, have a plan and action for what you're going into, and have some clear goals and some clear conversation about what this relationship looks like and where it's going.
Nice. That's good. Bro.
Solid.
Yeah. I've never been in one, so I'm like, I'm clueless.
Yeah.
No clue. Guy down the street wasn't? I'm just kidding. Okay. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. You had a lot of experience with that. I mean,
I
living in different states and being in a band. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
I did. I thought that was all on the head.
Perfect.
There on the head.
Isn't it on the nose, which is on the head?
No. Nail on the head.
Nail on the head.
Point to your nose.
Point. Yes.
Yes.
Shock Therapy Live, Pastor Nate, Steve-O, Mateo, we're here!
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of emails, so we're going to keep it going unless you want to interrupt us by calling us. 505-338-3700, the phone number. What do we got next?
We have an email that says, can you keep me anonymous, please? So,
okay.
Yes. This is something I've been dealing with for a very long time now. Since I was around 9 or 10 years old, my mother became a meth addict.
Ooh.
I am now 30. So for most of my childhood, my mother was more of a junkie roommate than a parental figure.
Wow.
There was a time where, or there were times when I had to take to selling drugs just to pay our bills because my mom would not have enough money to pay for rent, electricity, food, gas, etc. When my children were born, my mother was clean for a little while just so she could come around and see the grandkids. Then when my daughter was born, my mom turned back to her old habits. I have exhausted most of my resources on trying to get her some help, like rehab and drug counseling. There is a lot more about all this that I could go into, but it would take hours and hours for you guys to read through it all. I also have two children that have a genetic disease that requires a lot of my attention and also causes a great deal of stress in my life. I am tired of dealing with the problems that come along with dealing with an addict. I fully understand that the mind of the addict is one track and they really can't focus on anything else. I pray for her daily. I really want her to be clean and be the mom that I only have memories of. Recently, I told her that I can't continue to talk to her because all that happens when we talk is it ends in a fight. After dealing with this for 20 plus years, I've had enough and I need to focus on my wife and children's health more than I need to deal with her stress. So now to my question. I'm wondering if I've made the right decision by recently telling her that I can no longer have a relationship with her until she shows me that she can be clean and not constantly fight with me when we have a conversation. If you have more questions, please feel free to email me back. Thanks.
Mm. Wow.
That's intense.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a tough subject. Because it sounds like you've really tried for a long time to deal with it in love and let her come around and give grace and give mercy. And I'm going to pass it off to Steve in a second because he's dealt with, I think, some more family issues that could speak into this kind of a situation. Mm-hmm. But personally, when I look at it, I would tend to think that you've made the right choice to say, look, I want a relationship with you, but until you get clean, I can't have a relationship with you because I love my kids and I love my family enough to keep them safe from this kind of a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so when you're ready to get clean, we're ready to have a relationship with you. But until that time comes, the loving thing to do is to separate yourself. And I say loving thing to do because you love your wife and you love your kids. And it's unloving to put your kids into a place where they kind of witness that kind of a lifestyle up close within their grandma. That's an unloving thing to do. And so I think the loving thing to do in that situation is to separate yourself. I still think that you should be there if she needs your help. You know, if she, you know, is, you know, calls you and she's on the side of the road, she doesn't have anyone to come pick her up. I don't think it'd be loving or a good thing to say, no, I'm not going to come pick you up because you're not sober. I still think you need to be there and willing to help her because she's your mom and because, you need to love her and you need to be there for her no matter what happens. And so again, you don't have to subject your kids and your wife to her, but I still think you need to be there available and ready and willing to help if the time should come. One of our pastors here on staff actually wrote a great article on addicts. We have this new series, Jesus Loves People, and one of the topics we're doing is Jesus Loves Addicts. And there's a great article on our website, JesusLovesPeople.com, on addicts called Jesus Loves Addicts. And it works through some really great topics biblically, and then also some really great things, that we can do to show love to addicts. And so I would really recommend that you take a look at that. I think it'd be a really helpful article for you, as you battle and kind of grapple with this idea of how to show your mom practical love.
Yeah, dude, first of all, my heart breaks for the situation because it's your mother, you know, and trying to put myself in that situation, I can't fathom what you are going through. To some degree I can because I've had family members who were addicts or just terrible lifestyle decisions that caused me to have to separate myself from that for the safety of my family. So I can to some degree, but we're talking about your mom. It's a question that comes up regularly on Shock Therapy Live. I think the heart of it always comes back to that verse that says, how many times do we have to forgive them? You know, like 7 times, 70 times, you know, and I think we've talked about it before on Shock Therapy Live, the idea of forgiving someone for an addiction or for a fault or for something that they've done, for how they've wronged you, but also for the safety of your own family. Mm. Because as he mentioned, you have children involved. And for me, I struggled and battled with the idea of my children versus other family members who needed my help. And was there a quote unquote greater good in this situation? And it comes at the end of the day for me, it came back to my children and their safety and what God has called me to be as a husband and a father first and foremost. And to that ministry of being a dad and being the provider, being the protector, being those things for my family and not allowing my children to be caught up in situations like that because of family members who have chosen this lifestyle, because let's be clear, your children did not choose this lifestyle. Your mother has chosen this lifestyle. And so, man, I couldn't agree with you more though on the idea of you still being there, because, as a grown freaking man, if a family member who has decided to walk away or has chosen this terrible lifestyle finds themselves in a situation where it is dire, they are in need of help, and they call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, what sucks is I just got to put my pants on and grab my car keys, and I, in turn, will go help that person. However, I will not jeopardize the safety of my wife and my children for that. So there's a huge difference. And another huge difference, I think,
you just hit it on the head. You know, we can't use our wife and our kids as an excuse for us not to love the person.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of times it was like, oh, heck no, bro. You know, these are my kids. This is my family. I got to protect them. I got to keep them safe. But at the same time, disregarding this entire human being that is suffering and dying because of these stupid choices that they've made in their life, they've chosen to put themselves in. And yet, as you said, Jesus still loves that person.
Yes.
And how can we show that love? And there's, you know, you can subscribe to the tough love and all these different avenues, and sometimes there are things that need to be done, and you can separate yourself from that, but still being available for that person. And man, for your mother, this is your mom. And so, but I think what happens is with addicts, you just want them to get it right. And so they say they want to make a lifestyle change, and you go, oh, praise God. Okay, how can I help? I'm excited, I'm involved, and I'm going to help you out. And then they fall off the wagon. They do something. They screw up again, and you're like, oh, idiot! You know, like, and you just want it to be fixed, and you're like, well, okay, one more time, and then I'm writing you off forever.
There's a reason it's called an addiction.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, It consumes your life, and it's really difficult to get rid of. It's really difficult to get out of.
Yeah.
If it was easy, people wouldn't fall into it over and over again. Right. You know, it's a difficult thing, and I think that we can write them off, and it's like a, you know, almost like a kid riding a bike. You know, we can be like, why can't you do this? It's not as easy as that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's difficult. It takes time, and some people will never truly be rid of it.
Yeah.
And I think I think if we go into it with that mindset of that expectation that I'm going to go into this expecting that till the day that you die, you're going to struggle with this.
Yeah.
And if you go into it with that kind of an expectation and say, I'm going to love you regardless, then you're not expecting things to change necessarily. You want to hope for things to change, but I think you can't go into it expecting that next month this person's going to be clean.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Cause then when they're not, it makes you mad.
This verse makes me mad and kicks my butt every time. I was just reading it, actually, Romans 12:10, where we are called to be devoted to one another and love and honor one another above ourselves with that genuine affection. Mm. It has to be genuine. It has to be real. We truly have to esteem others greater than ourselves. Mm. And being devoted doesn't mean that when your relationship is fantastic, being there, and then when everything sucks, being able to walk away.
Hmm.
You have to truly constantly be devoted to that relationship. This is your mother. Hmm. And oh, as much as it frustrates you because you're like, I wish you would just freaking get it right. I'm also on the flip side so thankful that God doesn't do that. Be like, you know what, you idiot? That's it. I've forgiven you 3 times and you did it again. That's it. I'm out, you know,
yeah.
But God doesn't do that.
Amen.
And I'm so, so grateful for that. But it's definitely one of those situations that your heart just breaks and you go, man, that it truly does suck. And we are so sorry, but this is what we are called to, you know, you be that love in the life of your mother. Yes. You protect those children. Yes. You protect your wife. But you grown man, you know, be there when your mother falls down, because when an addict falls, they're going to turn to somebody. Mm-hmm. They're going to be broken and they're going to need somebody to pick them back up. And if you're not there to pick them back up, somebody else in the world's going to be there to pick them back up. And it might not be in the way that God has intended them, you know, to grow or to be restored. And the world has a wholly different view of restoration or rebuilding, an addict than God's word. And so,
yeah,
man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Maybe that spawned something in your life. Maybe you're dealing with this as well. Maybe you've come through this and you just have some advice, maybe some encouragement, because We always love hearing those stories of somebody who's had that family member who was an addict in an area of their life, and through love or through proper care, through whatever it is, was able to be restored. We always will take those phone calls, because I think for those that are hurting, for those that are caught up in these situations, and even for those that are trying to help someone else, it's always good to hear that encouragement that you've made it through to the other side. I can honestly say I'm stoked that the relationships that I had to draw away from have been restored, and that God has done some amazing things, and that I get to spend time with family members who in the past have had these crazy, crazy things. But, phone line. Let's go to line one. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Oh, hi. I'm calling out of Las Cruces.
Hey, man.
I heard hearing about the conversation about addicts and different things with addiction. I've been an addict basically my whole life. I guess, whether it was drugs or even small things like sports as a kid, you know? And I think sometimes what I've been trying to figure out over the last couple years is my addiction completely physical, or is there like a spiritual side to it too?
Mm.
And, what I feel is that a lot of it is Satan just trying to drag me down that path, knowing what I'm capable of, trying to keep me away from my full potential. You know, and I don't know if you guys can maybe explain that more in depth, you know, people can understand that maybe, you know, take a spiritual approach to it. Maybe they can get over it in a different way than just thinking that they're screwed as an addict physically.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got to understand this. The Bible says that Satan is a roaring lion prowling to and fro, seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah.
And he has at his disposal, a world, a wealth of sins, of temptations that he can use within a believer's life or within an unbeliever's life to get them stuck. Yeah. And so you got to also understand, the Bible says that Satan is the prince of this world. He has the power, he has the freedom in this world to do what he pleases. And so anytime Satan sees somebody who is pulling themselves out of an addiction or pulling themselves out of a sin, that's not a happy thing for him. He doesn't want to see people be free of sin. He wants to see people stuck in sin.
Right.
And so anytime he sees someone getting out of sin, of course he's going to bring temptation into that person's life to try to keep them stuck within a sin. And so there is a spiritual element. I wouldn't go as far. I know some would say anyone who's addicted is demon-possessed. I wouldn't go that far.
Right.
But I do believe that Satan does want to keep sinners stuck in sin.
Mm-hmm.
Satan wants to bring as many people down with him as he can, and so he's going to use whatever elements are at his disposal to keep sinners stuck in sin. And that comes into any kind of addiction, whether that's sexual addiction, whether that's drug addiction, alcohol addiction. Here's the reality. It really comes down to a sin addiction.
Mm-hmm.
We as human beings are born into depravity, into sin. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And we as human beings at our core have a sin addiction. We want to sin. We want to do what is bad for us. It's ingrained within us from birth.
Yeah.
And that's why the Bible says we have to die to ourselves and we have to live in Christ. We have to sacrifice the flesh and we have to live in the Spirit. And so the reality is that Satan does want us to indulge in the flesh, and anything that he can do to get us to indulge in the flesh, he'll take advantage of.
I mean, you take a look at the book of Ecclesiastes. It talks about God writing eternity in our hearts. I think as we talk about these different addictions, and is it more than just physical? Absolutely. God has placed, there's basically like a hole in us that, and with these addictions, I think it's us trying to constantly fill it to be satisfied, knowing, this temporal thing is going to satisfy me, and it may satisfy you for a season, but you're going to be left wanting again and again and again, which is probably why, certain addicts, you start with one and then maybe you can kick that and then you move on to the next thing and then the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, because you're constantly trying to be fulfilled or satisfied in that next relationship or that next drink or that next drug or it could be something that you pour full in, that next job that is going to fully satisfy you, and then 6 months later you're feeling depressed because that still hasn't satisfied you like you thought it was, you know, going to complete you. Because until we are completed in Christ, until we are content in Christ, yep, will never be complete. So
the way I've heard it is your heart has a throne, and you choose what you put on that throne. Mm. You can either let Jesus sit on that throne the way that he wants to and the way that he intends to,
yeah,
and you can live free from sin, free from addiction, and have a relationship with Christ, or you can take Christ off of that throne in your heart and you can put something else on that throne, an idol, something else that you worship. Yeah. And that can be, again, like you said, it can be a sport, it can be a job, or it can be drugs, it can be alcohol.
Yeah.
And really the issue more than an addiction problem is a sin problem.
It worship is putting, problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's putting something else on the throne in your life rather than Christ.
Yeah, there, a great book I would recommend, it's called Worship Matters, and that's exactly what it speaks to, is the idea that we're created worshiping. We're constantly going to be worshiping because that's how we were created.
And that's what addiction is. I mean,
yeah,
if you think about it,
absolutely,
the way you worship drugs would be by doing drugs.
Yeah.
You know, the way you worship sex would be by having a lot of sex.
Yeah.
The way you worship a sport is by doing it all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so it really is worship.
Absolutely. Dude, thank you so much for the call.
Oh, thank you.
All right. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Let's go to line two. Phone line's jammed up. We got a lot of emails. This show is, we hot right now.
Yeah, girl.
Static. Hello.
Hey. I have a question kind of on the same lines of drugs.
Okay.
I have family members that live in a state where marijuana just became legal.
Oh.
And my brother-in-law is all for it because he smokes it.
Of course he
and
is.
He's, yeah. And he's younger than I am. I think he's like from a different kind of generation than I am.
Okay.
I feel marijuana is bad. It's not a good idea.
Well, drugs are bad, okay?
Right. But it's legal now. So
yeah,
how do I, and things that I feel are bad, maybe like homosexual marriage and terminating pregnancies, they're all becoming legal.
Right.
So how do you witness, yeah, to somebody saying it's bad when it's totally legal?
Well, here's the mindset. There are things within this world that man says are okay, but
yeah,
that does not mean that it makes them okay with God.
Yeah.
Just because sin becomes legal doesn't make sin not sin.
Right.
Sin is sin.
Prostitution's
and,
legal
yeah,
in certain areas.
And it really comes down to what we believe the Bible says and what the world says.
Right.
And this is the reality. Man is always at enmity with God to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And so man is always going to say certain things are okay that God does not say is okay. And so the question really becomes, where does morality come from? Does morality come from man or does morality come from God?
Yeah.
If we believe morality comes from man, then guess what? Any man can determine morality for themselves because man, if man determines morality, this is what happens. If you say, well, okay, no, the president determines morality. Okay, then the president's God.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Congress determines what's moral. Okay, well, then Congress is God, because then what happens is then they get to determine what is right and wrong. And if they disagree with somebody else, then they're always right because they're God, because they determine morality. Yeah. So it really comes down to, where does morality come from? And it really comes down to ideal of absolutes. If morality comes from man, then there is no absolute truth. Then what's right in your eyes is right in your eyes. What's right in my eyes is right in my eyes. And then if I murder somebody, you can't get mad at me because that might not be wrong to me.
Yeah.
And morality, it really comes to a place where chaos happens if you believe in no absolute truths and that morality comes from man. But if morality comes from God, then we can't determine what is right and wrong for ourselves. We have to subscribe to the idea that God determines morality, what he says is right, what he says is wrong, and we don't get to determine it for ourselves.
Yeah.
And so it really comes down to this idea that it doesn't really matter what people say, it matters what God says. And you either have to take that or you have to leave that. But if you leave that, you have to go to a place where you cannot judge anybody for anything that they do. If somebody vandalizes your car, you can't get mad at that because that might not be wrong for them.
Yeah.
And absolute truth has to have a basis, and it has to have somewhere from which it comes from.
Yeah.
I totally subscribe to that. I totally agree with that. But as I'm in like my late 30s, and I see more like young 20-somethings kind of battle with this, what is right and what is wrong, because they don't know the truth of God. I don't know how to speak to them, because I don't really know that marijuana, like once it becomes legal, is it really something that should be totally illegal? Like if people have cancer or they have pain,
Yeah,
well, and that alleviates
well, that's never been illegal. Medicinal right. marijuana has been permitted for a long time, and yeah. that's a completely different story because to that mindset, Percocet and Vicodin are also drugs that would cause you to have a crazy trip,
yeah.
but those have been permitted for medical use for a long time as well.
Yeah.
And so when right. we talk about medical use, there's a difference. Now, if you abuse the uses for which you have medical, you know, if you're like, man, I've really got to find a way to get marijuana, so I'm going to come up with something that I have so that I can get it and smoke it, you know, there's a difference there. But if you genuinely have a medical condition, you know, there's people who have cancer going through chemotherapy
yep.
that they have no appetite, and the only way they can have an appetite to eat food is to be prescribed marijuana so that it gives them an appetite so they want to eat.
Yeah.
You know, they're going through a terminal illness, and I don't believe there's anything wrong with that, but to do it just for the sake of doing it is a different story. We've talked about this before, the difference
Absolutely.
Between medical marijuana and alcohol is you can have a beer and not be drunk. You can't have a joint and not be high. It
right.
affects your state of mind, and the Bible it clearly talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit and not controlled by anything else. We're either controlled by God or we're controlled by something else.
Right.
And when we put ourselves into a place where we're drunk or where we're high, we're not being in full control of our bodies. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to have control of our bodies, and we do things that we shouldn't do, that we would not normally do were we not high, were we not drunk. And so that's kind of where the line draws between alcohol and marijuana.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm having like a hard time trying to speak to like these people in my life that are younger, because to me it's an absolute no. Don't
yeah.
smoke
yeah.
or, you know, don't go beyond that limit, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, again,
but how do you talk to a younger person and say, do you not understand that getting high is you're getting out of control and it's
well,
wrong?
I wouldn't, like, I wouldn't address it from marijuana. Where I would address it from is where we talked about it before, from morality.
Yeah.
Is I would ask them that question, who determines morality? What makes something right? What makes something wrong? And ask them that question. And if they answer, well, each person gets to determine it for themselves, then lead them down the path to which that takes them. If they say, well, we each get to determine it for ourselves, say, okay, so Charles Manson was moral.
Right.
Well, no, he murdered a bunch of people. Okay, but it wasn't wrong for him. He was doing it because he thought that it was right. And so if we each get to determine morality, then we each get to determine morality. You can't tell anyone in any place that they're doing something wrong. The fact is that there are things ingrained within human beings that we know that is wrong. And the question is, where does that come from?
Matt and I were literally reading an article this morning mm-hmm. about ISIS from
yeah.
a Muslim writer for Huffington Post, who was speaking, which was very interesting because, and we're going to talk about this on Theology Thursday tomorrow, was speaking from the perspective of a Muslim who is saying the only thing that will ever stop ISIS is Jesus Christ, because ISIS believes that what they are doing is right in the sight of God by exterminating these Christians, because they believe they're bringing about the apocalypse. So what they are doing is right in their own eyes. We see it plain as day. And yet to all of us, we are disgusted. We are beside ourselves with these videos that keep coming out, like, oh, here's another 21 Christians who were just beheaded. To them, they believe they are doing a service to God.
Yeah.
They believe they are doing what is right in their own eyes. So you want to talk about a crazy moral state. I mean, you can point them directly to what's going on in the world around us right now, because that's exactly what
yeah.
it is.
And this is really what it comes down to, absolutes. Absolutes are either always absolute or they're never absolute, and that makes them not absolutes.
Yeah.
1 + 1 = 2. 1 + 1 will not sometimes equal 3, sometimes equal 4, and sometimes equal 2. It will always equal 2 because it's an absolute. And so either absolutes, morality is absolute, or it's not, and you have to throw it out the door completely, and then
yeah.
it goes into a place where everyone does what's right in their own eyes, and you can't judge anybody for anything.
Yeah. Does that help?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Awesome.
Thank you for the call. All right. 505. I love that she got a kick out of that. That's hilarious. 338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Dang, dude, we've got a lot of emails
still.
We're probably not going to get to them all because we only have about 9 minutes left to show,
yeah.
but let's try.
Okay.
What do we got?
Hey guys, I want to start off by saying I love the show. I try to listen every week, and y'all definitely have helped me through some things with your shows. I wanted to ask how to deal with some things going on in my life right now. Recently found out that my mother has been suicidal, but the only reason she hasn't done anything is because of me and my sister. I know the reason for her issues is my dad, who has been diagnosed as bipolar, but he refuses to accept it. My mother asked me for a lot of needed prayer, and I wanted to know if there were any specific verses to help. I really appreciate anything you have. Absolutely love your entire ministry.
What was it that she struggled with again?
She's struggling with suicide because her husband's been diagnosed bipolar, and he doesn't accept it.
Hmm. So she's struggling with suicide.
Yeah.
So she wants to commit suicide because her husband's bipolar.
Yeah, but the reason she isn't is because she has children and doesn't want to do that to them.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome to Shock Therapy Live,
man.
It seems like every week, this is, you know, these are the conversations that we have week in and week out. Forgive me, because you know there is power in the Word of God, and we need to remember that, because sometimes I bite my tongue because, oh, well, this is going to feel quote-unquote cliche or something, you don't want to say it. But I immediately thought of the verse that reminds us that we're not given to a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I think a lot of times we are taken captive by our thoughts, by our mind. We feel like they're out of control. We feel so overwhelmed. I know, man, I have a family history of depression. So I've seen it in many different family members, and I have dealt with it myself, to where, you know, in high school, they prescribed me a medication that was supposed to help. Oddly enough, I was, allergic to it, so I couldn't, so I actually had to get through it. Sans medication. And yet, I'll tell you right now, depression is a very real thing. Pastor Brian Nixon actually recently just wrote an article, about that very thing, because the power of depression, I mean, you're essentially trapped within your own mind. And I believe a lot of times with suicide, you're coming to this place, the state of, in your mind that nothing I do will ever change. Nothing will ever get better. This is all there is. This is the best it's going to be. I might as well just not be here. I might as well just check out, because the world would be a better place without me. Or, you know, and we start believing these lies that our mind can trap us with.
And I think it really comes down to a couple things. I think it really comes down to a lack of faith.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to a lack of trust in who God says he is. And I think it also puts an unhealthy amount of power within ourselves rather than in God.
Yeah.
We believe that the way that our lives go is dependent on us. We believe that we are the ones who are causing this. We are the ones who can solve this. We are the ones. And it's always come back to us, we. And, you know, a lot of people say it's selfishness, but I don't want to use it from the mindset of, okay, well, if you kill yourself, that's a selfish decision. It is, but that's not the standpoint I want to go. I think that it's that thought life leading up to it that's really selfishness, because it's believing that it's all about you and that you're the one who can't handle this. You're the one who can't handle this. You're the one who's caused this. And I think it really comes down to getting your thought life under control. And one of my favorite verses relating to this idea is Hebrews 4:15-16. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are." And guess what? Suicide is temptation. You're tempted to take your life because you believe that's the solution to your problems. Just like someone is tempted to take drugs because they believe that's the solution to their problems. They're tempted to steal. They're tempted to murder. Sin is temptation. We're tempted to do something because we believe that's the solution to whatever it is we're going through. And so suicide is a temptation. And it says, "But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And that's what I hear that you need. You know, you need grace to help in your time of need. You're in a time of need because you want to take your life, and you need grace. You need mercy. And so I would exhort you, like the author of Hebrews said, to come boldly to the throne of grace. Throw down yourself before the throne of grace. Cleanse yourself of pride. Cleanse yourself of your desires, of what you think the solution is. And fully trust and receive the grace and mercy of Christ as you approach his throne. That would be my response to that.
Absolutely. And for the daughter, I just would continue to pour that out into your mom, that, you know, she is not the sum of her husband's decision, your father's decisions, this bipolar disorder, everything that's going on that he's refusing to see right now, and continue to be a source of affirmation and that love, that grace, that compassion, that mercy, and just continue to pour into her, because as you said, I mean, she needs that. She needs that.
Yeah.
She needs that at this point, because I think, you know, selfishness, another way to say it, we talk about it as reverse pride, where everything's going wrong and it's all your fault. Man, my job sucks because of me. My relationships suck because of me. I'm a poison. Everything I touch is bad. And it's still a form of pride. It's this reverse pride, where you're still focused solely on yourself, believing that it's all your fault, as if the universe is wrapped up in you, you know?
Yeah.
So
it becomes very self-absorbed.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's really what pride is, being self-absorbed.
Yeah. So, hope that helps. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. A lot of emails. What, you want to try and tackle one more? Got a couple minutes left.
Yeah, we have somebody that replied about the fearfully and wonderfully made thing.
Okay.
And then we have some marriage questions.
Okay.
What do you think?
Oh, man.
What do we have time for?
We got about 3 minutes.
We'll do the fearfully and wonderfully made. It's not
okay.
Really, not really a question.
Okay.
So I listened to where someone asked about what it meant to be fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, it turns out a couple of days before I listened to that question, I had decided to look it up for myself.
Huh.
Fearfully means to do something in an anxious manner. Anxious means you are concerned about doing something. Concern means that you are interested to involve yourself in that situation. You regard something as really important. Wonderfully means something that causes wonder. Wonder is to be filled with amazement. So God gave me this sentence to make it more simple or relatable. God was so interested in making me and being a part of my life as to him I am of great importance. The way we were created is so perfect and on point. He is filled with amazement when he reflects, when he thinks about us, his creation, his child. And even that sentence is a massive understatement of how much he loves us. Hope that helps a little bit.
That was good. Yeah, last week we had a question on what it meant to be fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna grab this. Let's see.
Yeah,
we got a couple minutes left, so let's see. Ah, they hung up. Okay,
I'm not gonna grab it.
All right.
I mean, these marriage questions. One email has like 5 questions in it, and then the other one.
Big
questions.
But that's okay, man.
Who was that was calling?
I don't know.
We don't know. They disappeared.
Oh, man.
They disappeared.
Man, if you are, maybe this conversation, this show has spawned something, and you've been thinking about it for some time. You haven't been able to get in. You know you need to talk to somebody. Please don't put it off. The phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. We take email 24/7, mm-hmm. 7 days a week. And a lot of times when it is a very serious issue like this, we do tend to pass off questions to the pastoral staff here. We still will answer them on the show. Yet if you are able to talk to somebody in person, that's always fantastic. So please, you know, reach out. studio@mystaticradio.com. Of course, 2 minutes and the phone lines are jammed. Static.
Hey, I just wanted to comment real quick on the girl that with her parents, she's having issues with her parents, her mom being suicidal, her dad being bipolar.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so growing up, my dad was bipolar, and we really, really struggled as a family. We went through a lot of difficulties. We had a lot of issues. And my mom especially, even as a young kid, I can remember like it being so like negatively impactful on my family, and it was really hard. But, my dad finally realized after I don't know how many years that he really needed to get help and to like be medicated and to go to counseling and stuff like that to help and to really like help with his family and everything. And so my mom just had to let him know like, hey, I'm going to have to leave you if, you know, you can't do this because you're being like, we can't do this. Our family can't do this. This isn't okay. Cause he was very verbally abusive to us and it was rough, but he finally realized like, I need to do this for my family. Like he was very like thinking very selfishly cause the medication is so hard on his, like on your body and stuff and has so many negative side effects. But he finally realized like, I need to do this for my family. He stopped being selfish and was like, I need to do this for my family because this is what they need. This is what we need to survive. And so, like, now it's incredible how far he's come. And, like, he really, like, relied on God to help him give him that strength to get to where he is today. And it's amazing. Like, yes, we still have our ups and downs, but
that's awesome.
It's incredible how much that step, just taking that step of realizing, like, yes, I have this disease, but I can do something to help it just, like, for my family. And so
that's
for her,
awesome.
Just like, I don't want her to be so too discouraged because like, and to be supportive of him because it's such a huge and horrible and scary disease, and the treatments for it are like almost just as scary.
Yeah,
but
that's awesome.
It's so worth it.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Amen.
Thank you so much for the encouragement. The phone call.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Man, we have come to the end of the hour. Line two, hang on the line. We got the message. So. We will hang out. If you missed any part of the show, download the podcast, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. If you are going through something, don't put it off. Email us, studio@mystaticradio.com. Better yet, seek a pastor. We're here week in and week out for you. And again, man, thanks to everybody who was a part of the show today.
Yep.
Nate!
Dude.
Awesomeness.
Good times.
Yeah, it was. We have a plethora of shows online available for you. We've talked about many, many a thing. So if we didn't get to your topic, maybe we have in the past. Check it out, mystaticradio.com.
Peace out.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.